Centre of the circle was a perfectly ordinary, if somewhat large, wooden chest. It was not even scorched. Someone on the far side of the arena started to laugh, but the sound was broken off abruptly as the chest rose up on dozens of what could only be called legs and turned to face the arch-astronomer. A perfectly ordinary, if somewhat large, wooden chest does not, of course, have a face with which to face, but this one was quite definitely facing. In precisely the same way as he understood that, the arch-astronomer was also horribly aware that this perfectly normal box was in some indescribable way narrowing its eyes. It began to move resolutely towards him. He shuddered.
Magicians! He screamed. Where are my magicians?
Around the arena, pale-faced men peeped out from behind altars and under benches. One of the bolder ones, seeing the expression on the arch-astronomer's face, raised an arm tremulously and essayed a hasty thunderbolt. It hissed towards the chest and struck it squarely in a shower of white sparks. That was a signal for every magician, enchanter, and thaumaturgist in Krull to leap up eagerly and, under the terrified eyes of their master, unleash the first spell that came to each desperate mind. Charms curved and whistled through the air. Soon the chest was lost to view again in an expanding cloud of magical particles which billowed out and wreathed it in twisting, disquieting shapes. Spell after spell screamed into the melee. Flame and lightning bolts of all eight colours stabbed out brightly from the seething thing that now occupied the space where the box had been. Not since the Mage Wars had so much magic been concentrated on one small area. The air itself wavered and glittered. Spell ricocheted off spell, creating short-lived wild spells whose brief half-life was both weird and uncontrolled. The stones under the heaving mass began to buckle and split. One of them, in fact, turned into something best left undescribed and slunk off into some dismal dimension. Other strange side effects began to manifest themselves. A shower of small lead cubes bounced out of the storm and rolled across the heaving floor, and eldritch shapes gibbered and beckoned obscenely. Four-sided triangles and double-ended circles existed momentarily before merging again into the booming, screaming tower of runaway raw magic that boiled up from the molten flagstones and spread out over Krull. It no longer mattered that most of the magicians had ceased their spell-casting and fled. The thing was now feeding on the stream of octarine particles that were always at their thickest near the edge of the disk. Throughout the island of Krull, every magical activity failed, as all the available mana in the area was sucked into the cloud, which was already a quarter of a mile high and streaming out into mind-curdling shapes. Hydrophobes on their sea-skimming lenses crashed screaming into the waves. Magic potions turned to mere impure water in their phials. Magic swords melted and dripped from their scabbards. But none of this in any way prevented the thing, at the base of the cloud, now gleaming mirror bright in the intensity of the power storm around it, from moving, at a steady walking pace, towards the arch-astronomer. Rincewind and Twoflower watched in awe from the shelter of Potent Voyager's launch tower. The honour party had long since vanished, leaving their weapons scattered behind them. "Well," sighed Twoflower at last, "there goes the luggage." He sighed. "Don't you believe it," said Rincewind. "Sapient Pearwood is totally impervious to all known forms of magic. It's been constructed to follow you anywhere. I mean, when you die, if you go to heaven, you'll at least have a clean pair of socks in the afterlife. But I don't want to die yet, so let's just get going, shall we?"
"Where?" said Twoflower.
Rincewind picked up a crossbow and a handful of quarrels. "Anywhere that isn't here," he said.
"What about the luggage?"
"Don't worry. When the storm has used up all the free magic in the vicinity, it'll just die out." In fact, that was already beginning to happen. The billowing cloud was still flowing up from the area, but now it had a tenuous, harmless look about it. Even as Twoflower stared, it began to flicker uncertainly. Soon it was a pale ghost. The luggage was now visible as a squat shape among the almost invisible flames. Around it the rapidly cooling stones began to crack and buckle. Twoflower called softly to his luggage. It stopped its stolid progression across the tortured flags and appeared to be listening intently. Then, moving its dozens of feet in an intricate pattern, it turned on its length and headed towards the potent Voyager. Rincewind watched it sourly. The luggage had an elemental nature, absolutely no brain, a homicidal attitude towards anything that threatened its master, and he wasn't quite sure that its inside occupied the same space-time framework